opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of North State Now.
I'm every woman, and aren't you? All of you listening, even you men who are like, I really want to know more about women. That's why you put the show together. It's the fourth Thursday of the month, which means that we have our Shasta Regional Medical Center moment with Dr. Orna Gill. This is a show all based around women. Good evening.
Good evening. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you very much for having me on.
And Lynann Foster is here as well.
Hello.
Who's responsible for putting all of this together. And we are pre-recording the show on Thursday day because tonight, of course, Dr. Orna Gill has got patients. She has patients to see and procedures to do. So we're honored that you took this time because we want to get this information out. Today or tonight, whatever, at this moment, we're going to be talking about an urgency syndrome with the vaginal reconstruction or rejuvenation procedures. We're going to be talking about menopause and in another segment, hormonal-based therapy. And what's the difference between what happens with puberty and menopause?
Yes. So thank you very much for having me on. I'm very excited to be here. Always an honor to talk about things that I love to talk about and are interesting to me, and I hope we can all learn together about these things. You want me to start with talking about the lasers?
Let's talk about that. And the reason when we started this this afternoon and we're going through, like, you know, what we're going to discuss, we talked about the fact that this has really become very popular, which is vaginal rejuvenation. And I've got a friend and friends that are doing it, but I have a very close friend that went through menopause and was widowed and then later married and divorced. So she went for a period of time without having, you know, sexual intercourse of any kind. And so then enter a new love interest and, you know, could not do it because of the pain.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting. These are like, ooh, are they taboo topics? No, this is very real.
Very real. Very real. And you're right. It's very common and it's so hard for us to talk about because, like you said, cultural norms prohibit us from really speaking about our private parts. They're actually called private parts. We keep it private. But, you know, it's important to not suffer through what is really very natural and what can happen to our body as we age. And certainly, if we can do something about it to alleviate these syndromes of pain or that kind of thing, we really need to look at it, talk about it, inform each other, inform ourselves, and get moving on it because, yeah, it's no way to live, right?
Well, let's tell our listening audience, too, that you are a gynecologist and
yes,
you're one of the new doctors at Shasta Regional Medical Center, and that's your specialty is women's health.
Yes.
And so question for you is that, you know, when you hear this vaginal rejuvenation procedure, is this something that, you know, maybe has really – changed in the last decade? Women are saying, hey, you know, with the baby boomers, we want to be sexually active. You know, we're going to do Botox. We're going to be hot. I want to be hot.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're right. We have an aging population, proportionally speaking. You know, the baby boomers are getting into the retirement ages. And, you know, there is a syndrome that I want to talk about, genitourinary syndrome of menopause, or GSM. And what that is it's a phenomenon that affects about 45% of women, we know for sure, 3 years out of menopause, meaning 3 years past menopause. And menopause is basically defined as 1 year without periods. And that usually occurs at the age of 51.4 on average in the United States. So if we're talking about 50% of women are experiencing this, we need to do something about it. And what is it exactly? So it's basically a significant reduction in the in your quality of life due to atrophy of the tissues in the genital region because of low estrogen content. So estrogen really is what we call it is angiogenic, meaning it causes blood vessels to grow and oxygen to be delivered to the tissues via those blood vessels. But if you don't have those blood vessels anymore, all those tissues are going to basically shrink down. They're going to become devitalized. The nerves are either going to overfire because they're deprived of oxygen. They're not going to fire at all. And so what you see is basically a change, obviously, in the anatomy where you no longer have the same color. You don't have the same lubrication, moisture. That kind of low tissue quality can cause a dermatitis where the two dry tissues are like one on top of the other.
Ooh.
And then that can cause inflammation, and that can cause extreme pain, itching, burning. And obviously, this translates both to the bladder and to the urethra, mm. where you have severe urgency because, you know, you're so irritated. Mm. You know, think about it. If you ever had a UTI or something, you always have this urgency. It's not because the urethra is contracting because of the irritation and inflammation. So that's basically what we're seeing in GSM, or genital urinary syndrome of menopause. So, you know, what do we do? How do we deal with this? So there's two concepts. And one of them is, well, let's try to affect the tissues using energy-based systems. So lasers, CO2 lasers, hybrid lasers, what they do is they penetrate the tissue and they activate heat shock proteins or proteins inside the cells for what we call neocollagen genesis. Basically, it causes collagen to be built by the cells again, just by mechanically activating that system in the cells. And that's the same thing behind laser on the face, behind any kind of laser that you use on the body. It activates these quiescent cells and makes them produce collagen. So that makes the tissue much more elastic, like for your friend. Makes it a lot more active, plump. It attracts a lot more
blood to the surface,
right?
To
right.
regenerate,
exactly. So that's one of the approaches to dealing with this syndrome. The other approach is, of course, vaginal estrogen. So what's lacking in menopause, we replace locally. For example, if we have low estrogen in our system, once again, you'll see that GSM rise up its fiery head, and we can give vaginal estrogen to cause those tissues once again to attract blood vessels and alleviate the problem. Not from a mechanical point of view where we shake up the cells literally and make them make collagen, but medically we stimulate those cells to start to behave the way they did before menopause.
So when you're talking about in describing this, you know, uh-huh. in a way, it makes us comfortable.
Yeah.
When we think of a tube.
Yeah.
or whatever that instrument looks like, the yeah. laser, mm-hmm. it might freak some people out. Now, here mm-hmm. the other idea would be creams
mm-hmm.
that yeah. are, you know, just go around the outside of the vagina.
Well, there's several options. You have a cream. Creams are nice because they are not so difficult to absorb, because theoretically you can distribute them all the way through the vagina, inside the vagina principally, and then a little bit on the outside. And then there's also tablets, there's inserts. Some people use off-label pills in the vagina, where you can just place a tablet that you usually take orally. This is something very off-label. But, you know, the laser therapy is off-label. It's not approved by the FDA to utilized on the vulva, vagina. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's a warning out by the FDA right now for these lasers treatments, because I can go over a study that describes, long story short, 20 weeks later, there's an increase in pain with sex, an increase in vaginal pain from the laser therapy. Mechanism is not known, but it's well described in this study, which I can go over if you want.
Well, let's take a break, okay. And I think we're about time to take a break. Ashley's our producer today. Jared will be, running this tonight, and I'm very, very excited about this. I think that really we talk about our health, and that we're all born into this world with parts. And there's certain parts that many people are squirmish about talking about. Like we've had, it's a colon cancer awareness month. We've talked about, Pace Cancer Center came on, and we talked about, getting your colonoscopy and not being afraid of the fact that this is how you screen. And what happens? I mean, I've got girlfriends. I am in the menopause age. I think it's very, very important to talk about it. Why should you have pain? Address it. Let's figure out why you're dry, what's your active lifestyle. And with us is Dr. Orna Gill, who is an OBGYN, a women's health specialist at Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Lynn Ann Foster. You've helped this evening possible with Shasta Regional Medical Center sponsoring this hour show, and I'm thrilled to have it here on KCNR. We'll be right back. This is Linda Bott, and we're here with I'm Every Woman, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 Your Talk Radio. We'll be right back after these messages talking about women's health.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Attention all hands.
Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans, covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know, nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of North State Now.
And welcome back to our North State Now segment, our fourth Thursday of the month here with Dr. Orna Gill, who is our OBGYN and a woman specialist. We're very excited to be talking about topics here tonight that maybe, I don't know, some women may lunch, and those who like to lunch, and our friends, maybe some of these things have been taboo in the past, but as we know, we enter into 2019, 2020, that times are changing. And also with us this morning is Lynn Ann Foster, who is with Shasta Regional, making this night happen for us with this medical show on all things women.
Happy to be here.
Absolutely. And before we took our break, Dr. Orna, we were talking about the new vaginal rejuvenation procedures, which would be laser and what GSM means, that, you know, like after, when women go through menopause, they get this GSM, which is urinary tract, or sometimes they can't go to the bathroom as much, and some people are really going towards this vaginal rejuvenation procedures. But you've got a study.
Yeah.
That's not saying don't do it.
Yeah.
But it's saying that here is a study in one of your American journals of
medicine. Yeah. It's very important to talk about what we know, but also, bring out all the data that we can in order to understand what are our best options, and just approach this with really open eyes, because GSM, or genitourinary syndrome of medicine, menopause is a real thing. Basically, like you said, Linda, we're talking about dryness, vaginal pain, urgency, painful intercourse, etc. And this occurs, as I said, in half of women who are 3 years past menopause. So, first of all, I want to discuss the fact that the FDA issued an energy-based device warning against these energy-based device companies advertising rejuvenation, vaginal rejuvenation. And this FDA warning came out July 30th, 2018. And the FDA issued a safety warning against the use of energy-based devices, which are these lasers, for vaginal rejuvenation, and sent warning letters to 7 companies. Okay, and basically the concern relates to marketing claims made by many of these companies on their websites on the use of radio frequency and laser technology for the conditions that described as vaginal laxity, vaginal dryness, urinary incontinence, sexual function response. So these devices are neither cleared nor approved by the FDA for these specific indications. Rather, they're approved for general GYN conditions, such as treatment of genital warts and precancer.
Oh.
So we use these. Yeah. We don't. This is completely off-label, but people are doing it. It's sort of like, I guess we kind of try these things on our faces, and it works really well for improving the youthful look. And, of course, somebody got the bright idea to do these procedures on the genitals. And, in fact, it does seem to work. And I do want to share with you a study about it. But, there's really not that much information about the adverse effects of lasers. There's a handful of tiny studies that show us that it's beneficial, but the FDA approval process really does look at the pros and cons, what injuries can come out of these things. It's a very new, very, very new approach, something that we need to approach with caution, these lasers. And so I wanted to go through it and study that came out of Brazil very recently. 45 women were included in the study, and this is about the biggest study that they have. I mean, there's no huge thousands and thousands of women's studies like we have on estrogen or on vaginal estrogen, oral estrogen. This is just the biggest study right now is 45 women out of Brazil. And basically they selected these women. They're 2 years out of menopause at least. And they all had symptoms. They used a scale from 1 to 36 for who had symptoms of this genitourinary syndrome of menopause. And basically, they were randomized, and it was a double-blind study. And what that means is they were blinded to what they were getting, and the researchers were blinded to what they were getting. So some of the laser was fake laser. You don't know if you're getting the real thing or a fake one.
Wow.
Some of the
placebo.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And the same thing with estrogen, the vaginal estrogen. So there was one arm that was laser alone, and one arm that was laser with estrogen, which has been shown to be the most effective.
Okay.
And then one arm with just estrogen. And they all crossed over so that, you know, the, like I said, the researchers and the patients themselves did not know exactly what it
which
was.
Which is very cool.
It is very
because
cool.
Because you can't go in already with a mindset.
Yes. And you don't know what you're getting. So you really need to, you can't really bias
right.
your findings, neither the researcher nor the patient. So the findings are interesting. What they found was that the most, and let me just refer to it very specifically. So the three treatment groups showed statistically significant improvement in vaginal dryness at 20 weeks. And this is where they did just two treatments. Now, I don't think your friend had three, right?
No, my friend had only the laser.
Right. Okay. So yeah. So this in these yeah. So in these they had
the pill, the cream, and the laser.
The laser and the cream, or just the cream.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was. So at 20 weeks. Only the laser alone arm and the laser plus estrogen showed improvement in burning and pain with sex. But there was no difference in terms of what we call vaginal maturation index. So we take a sample of cells from the vagina and we check to see the changes that they undergo. In response to all these therapies, and they were all the same, equivalent.
Hmm.
Okay. But for some reason, the laser arm, the two groups that had lasers, had better outcome scores for women who had, dryness and pain with sex. What's interesting, though, is that this is the first study that really measured at 20 weeks, showed that women who had laser eventually developed more pain with sex. And it's not really very well
recorded yet, right?
Yeah. Nobody understands exactly why it is. But again, this is why the FDA issued these warnings, you know, because it's great. It's a great short-term fix. But in the long term, is it going to make things worse?
Well, it's great that they're looking at it, because like we've been talking about, there's a full spectrum of what you experience when you go through menopause and what that might look like, and that they're looking at things that may or may not be helpful just adds to the greater conversation, which is so important. And I dig that they're doing it in Brazil, because they do give the best bikini wax. I have to say that makes sense to me.
That's a whole other subject.
That's right.
There.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Stay tuned next month.
Yeah. Right. The bikini next month. Like, you know, every man should go through that, right? But anyway, I love these studies, and that's the kind of thing that when you are really studying in-depth women's health, that this is something that's cutting edge, it's brand new, but what are the ramifications, the long term?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't every single person, it was just a small percentage.
Yes, exactly. So it was a significant difference, but it was a small percentage. You're right.
Okay.
It was only 10 or 15%, but it was more than... You know, by a lot, then, I mean, there was no real exacerbation or worsening of the pain in the vaginal estrogen arm alone.
Right.
So something to think about. I mean, vaginal estrogen is not for everyone. It can be messy for some people. So we have tablets. We have pills. We have rings that go in to the vagina and can stay there for 3 months.
Really?
Yeah. And they slowly disperse a little bit of estrogen. And they're very, very thin silicone-based rings that just distribute a little bit at a time. And it's just local estrogen. There's actually one study.
Okay. Well, no, that's all right. We're getting our, we've got to take a break.
Okay,
but let's finish your study, and then we'll take a break.
Oh, it was a study that measured estrogen levels in women versus their partners, men, who women were using vaginal estrogen, and it was actually absorbing.
Into the men?
Yeah. Into the men?
Interesting.
And then what happened there? Did their voices raise again? Okay, Amanda, we're going to take a break here at KTR. It's 10.5. Don't turn your dial because this is good stuff. We get down to the meat and bones, or, you know, kind of. Right here on KTNR. We'll be right back. KTNR, again, I'd say it three times in a row. Linda Botter here with Dr. Ornegill and, of course, Lynn Ann Foster. We're talking about all things women's health and, hey, maybe some men, too.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of North State Now.
That's right, and you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM of 1460 AM. This is Linda Bott, and I'm just here tonight because I'm very excited about this show on the 4th Thursday. This is North State Now, and Dr. Orna Gill is here. She is our new OBGYN rock star over at Schuster Regional. You are a total rock star,
oh,
and I just love
right.
it. You I love it. You know, you are, you're kind of, you're born to be. You know, I feel that about you. Like, you're born to be, you know, some people are like great golfers and they're born to be an athlete or they're born to be a brilliant scholar or a doctor or just, you know, my brother is a doctor and he was dissecting and really into the whole microscope thing at four. And so this has been his life of studies. Mm-hmm. And I'm just fascinated by people who are, you know, just can bring this expertise. And so we're very, very fortunate to have you here in the North State. At North State Now and having you here on this Thursday. Now, this is a pre-recorded show. We are recording it on the Thursday, the 28th, but it'll be running tonight because our doctor has procedures.
So we're happy. Busy lady.
Yes, and we're happy to have her here, as well as Lynn Ann Foster, who is head of media relations and advertising and marketing at Shasta Regional Medical Center, made this evening possible.
With you.
Well, I mean, it takes all this. So we just covered the first half hour of our show about the vaginal rejuvenation. If you haven't listened to it, play it back because, you know, of course, our archives are current and you can hear back some of the studies, the fascinating studies, which leads us on to our next topic, which is we're talking about menopause. And again, we are here with our expert, Dr. Orna Gill.
Thank you very much. Very glad to be here. Menopause is a big, big topic. And like Lynanne was saying earlier, it's very varied in terms of how women experience menopause. We were all talking about that. Everybody has a little bit of a different way of getting into it and then how you tolerate it and then, you know, how it continues, how the symptoms continue and eventually abate, if at all. And we can get into talking about, you know, what's considered normal, what's considered abnormal, you know, what can I do about it? That's the main thing that, practically speaking, we want to come out of it, talking about menopause together. You know, what does it mean to me? How do I deal with it? What can I do about it, if at all? And how is it really just something that certain people experience or not, and we can go into it at length. So, for example, menopause is, on average, as I said before, most women go into menopause at age 51.4. The average amount of time that it takes to achieve menopause is 4 years on average. And what that is it can be sort of like a torturous, slow and painful approach to no periods for 1 year, which is the definition of menopause. And what you can see is, you know, initially more frequent, heavier, more painful periods, then less, and then less, and then less. So there's early, middle, and late perimenopause. And then similarly, once you achieve menopause, the ovaries, I don't know if you know this, the ovaries continue to work until the age of 65, even though you don't have periods.
What are they doing?
They're torturing you.
Okay. Okay.
They're just hanging out. They're going to be nice today. Yeah, right?
No. They're making little bits of estrogen. And that's why people still have hot flashes. Because they have some estrogen and then nothing. A little bit of estrogen, then nothing. But also, that estrogen can be functional in terms of mood. Estrogen is euphorogenic. It makes us happy. Estrogen helps us sleep. Estrogen helps us focus. Estrogen obviously has the effect that we were talking about on the genital tissues. So, yeah, they still continue to function in some capacity or another, sort of not in a perfect slope of decline, but sort of in a jagged, a little bit every year, overall going down. But, you know, in general, you'll have a couple of spikes here and there, which is why menopause is pretty much, I would say, a 20-year thing. I don't know. It seems like it is. I mean, if you start at age 45 right. and you're done at 65, basically.
There's 20 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, one time, I'm going to share this because, you know, Carl will laugh because we corresponded, you know the story, we corresponded for a long time. He goes, well, I'll tell you how much I care about you. I'm willing to go through your menopause. I was so offended. But now that I'm in it, you know, and I've been in it for years, I get what now, men go through kind of a similar. I know you're specializing in women, but men can go through, what do they call when men lose their, I don't know, what is it called that men lose?
Testosterone, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think that's absolutely true. It's not as well described because from, and you know, just from a purely, like, tangible point of view, it's more difficult to identify in men, you know? It's the same thing with puberty. I mean, women, you know, when you're in puberty, you start your menses. Men have no idea. You know, in some cultures, they, you know, have a ceremony at the age of 13 for men. In menopause as well, we can see when these changes are occurring. If we didn't have the ability to track our periods, it would be a little less
Obvious,
and not probably as easy to treat, even.
Well, when people say, oh, she's so hormonal.
Yeah.
They say that usually with puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when they say it and you're an older, you know, mature woman, that is, for some people, that is a disrespectful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do we share some of this information with our listening audience about what literally goes on in the body when you are going through menopause, when one is going through menopause.
When
and
one.
Yes, of course it's different, but I mean, what are some of the symptoms?
Well, so the first major symptom obviously is changes in periods, which we went through with more intense ones and then less frequent. And hot flashes are a huge thing. And hot flashes are basically the blood vessels expanding and contracting. So it's basically a vasculopathy where your blood vessels open and close, you know, expand and contract, causes a huge amount of flushing, especially from the chest all the way up into the neck and head. That is interesting because the populations of women who describe hot flashes differs across cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So in our culture, 75% of women describe hot flashes. In cultures like East Asia, for example, Japan, less than 10% of women experience hot flashes.
Where?
Oh, wow.
And then, is it a fish-based diet? Some people say it's the omega-3-rich diet.
It may be. There are some theories as to why that's true. One theory is that we just simply have a little bit more adipose or fat on us in America than the more lean people in, let's say, Japan on average. I'm not talking about sumo wrestlers. I'm talking about, you know, the normal. So the adipose tissue traps the heat, Whereas not having the fat on your body allows the heat to escape with a much less punishing, experiential sort of feeling of hot flashes. So they just, maybe they're thinking that it dissipates earlier. Again, like a lot of cultures really don't accept complaints or being self-absorbed or complaining as a woman. Mm-hmm. So that's another theory. It's so indoctrinated.
They just don't talk about it.
They don't talk about it, and it turns into not even thinking about it.
Well, you can't call and say, I'm sorry, I can't come in today because my clothes are drenched. I've had a major hot flash.
Hopefully we'll get to that
If
point.
Your boss is a man, he's going to say, get over it, get changed, get in here. You know? If that. So let's take a break on those notes. We're going to be back with our last segment here with North State Now and Dr. Orna Gill. We're going to talk more about, like, let's talk about the treatments, the difference between the estrogen and what happens with the body when you're going through menopause. I have a specific question to ask you. Mm-hmm. And this is a pre-recorded show because Dr. Orna Gill has procedures tonight at Shasta Regional Medical Center. We're happy to have you here today talking about some great subjects and studies. We'll be right back after these messages.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of North State Now.
And welcome back to our show, North State Now. It's the fourth Thursday, so what does that mean? Yes, we are talking all things women health. And with us is Dr. Orna Gill, who is our new GBYN rock star from Shasta Regional Medical Center. Very, very honored to have her here today. We're pre-recording the show because tonight she is in procedures. She's here in her scrubs, if you could only see. She's totally in her scrubs, ready to go into work right after we finish this program. And also with us tonight is Lynn Ann Foster, who is head of media and marketing and all of that. From Shasta Regional Medical Center. Welcome, ladies.
Well, thank you.
Happy to be here.
And this is the last segment. You know, if we did a show just on the breaks.
Yeah.
Because we talk about stuff on the breaks, we derail, and then we say, oh, we've got to stay on subject. But one of the things we talked about at the break, and before we went into break, we were talking about, and again, this show is all women's health, so we've discovered and talked about some studies that happened out of Brazil with vaginal rejuvenation procedures, the term GSM, the urgency syndrome. So if you're tuning in now and you're wondering what that's about, go back to KCNR1460.com or Free Fire Radio and go back to our archives and you'll hear the first portion of the show. So that leads us to the last segment here, and we're talking about, you know, things that happen with the body. And again, this is all women and health issues in menopause. We've been talking about estrogen. We both, Lynann and I were discussing the fact that, you know, our friends, many of our friends, our circle of friends, are either approaching it, have gone through it, or are on the other back end of it. And what a struggle it is with our weight and our bodies, and gone are the 20s and the 30s. So now we look at what do we do as far as getting on an even scale where, you know, because we do get thicker in the middle. And is that just a sign of get used to it? That's going to happen.
Yeah, good question. I think with estrogen does affect distribution of fat in the body. So high normal, what we call higher normal estrogen levels vis-a-vis menopause, those are associated with extremely low waist to hip ratios. So the lower the estrogen levels in your body, the higher the waist to hip ratio is, meaning the measurement of your waist compared to the measurement of your hip. And it's just a simple calculation that we make to really show us, you know, how we can even follow estrogen levels looking at that. Estrogen really does affect that because it increases fat distribution on the hips and reduces fat distribution on the waist. So it's not just that you're getting thicker on the waist, it's that you're getting thinner on the thighs.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nicer way to look at it.
Isn't that?
I like that perspective.
That feels better. But yeah, I mean, I think we are very sort of visually motivated, especially in this time of Instagram where everybody wants to look great, everybody has certain ideals, and there are certain forms that we really find beautiful, and it's very distressing to consider not fitting into that, you know, particular vision or cultural vision that we have. It's relatively rigid. So yeah, I think it's something that if you do take estrogen, you will see a change in that. Estrogen also increases blood flow to our biggest organ, which is the skin. I like to think of mine as the brain, but it's not the skin. And so you'll see an improvement in the quality of your skin. But, you know, estrogen is not for everyone. You know, if you have a uterus, you have to take progesterone, which has along with it kind of like the opposite effects of estrogen. And in order, if you just take estrogen alone without progesterone and you have a uterus, in 2 years, there's a 65% chance that you will develop cancer of the uterus. So you can't do that by itself. So you have to have a little bit of progesterone. We're learning now that we don't have to use as much as we did in the past, but we do need to use some in order to counteract the effects of estrogen, which causes the uterus to build up tissue and not shed it or change it in any way or mature it. So it can develop into a cancer or a precancer, something to look at.
So there is something in the progesterone or the estrogen thing again with how our weight distributes as we go through menopause.
Yes.
Well, you know, I went through and had one of those 3D circular what do you want to call it, where they did this picture, and I was like, that is not me.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like that. But then I saw the image, and it is a thicker waist, and I know that, you know, with doing hormone replacement, let's talk a little bit about hormone replacement and why you do have to have your blood drawn on a regular basis to look at your levels. Why is that?
Well, now we like to call it hormone therapy because it is somehow demeaning to – this is – the terminology, let's just say, replacement means that you're lacking it, and that implies that the norm is not what you really, what's in your body now. Menopause is a normal thing to undergo, and we don't need to replace hormones. We're treating with it's therapy, really.
Okay.
So anyway, just aside, but so yeah, hormone therapy is very effective in reducing hot flashes. And reducing hot flashes is the key here because it when you have hot flashes, you don't know this, but you don't sleep at night. Your body wakes up. You go into stage one of sleep, and it takes you right out of REM, you know, stage four, and you end up not getting a good night's sleep ever. So that reduces your concentration abilities, reduces your you become very agitated or hormonal. Being you're, of course, if you ever missed a night's sleep, you're always very cranky. I mean, anyone can tell you that. So that's one of the things that it helps with. In terms of fat distribution, absolutely. You're going to see a change back to much lower waist hip ratios, much more collagen synthesis in the skin, hair, nails, all of that is going to go, hopefully, not necessarily back to the way it was, but way better than, mm-hmm. you know. It's measurable. I mean, you can take a look at your waist and your hip ratio after, you know, a few months of hormone therapy. It's really a real thing. But, you know, there are other things that cause us to be in good shape, and that has to do with tone and the ability to achieve tone like that, and, you know, the quality of our, you know, muscle tissue and nutrition and health factors, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, aging is not just about menopause. There are a lot of other factors, as you know, that play into, you know, the way our bodies look and act and feel as we age.
And one of your specialties, and I love this about meeting you the very first time, is that you said you're a thyroid geek.
Yes.
I love the study of that. And so my question is, when you're going through this change, or when we or one goes through this change, how is the thyroid affected? Why is it then that maybe it's you never had a condition, then all of a sudden now you've got a condition? Curious about that.
That's an excellent question. It's a really excellent question. And I'll tell you this. Thyroid disease mimics menopause. So sometimes we check the thyroid when people are in menopause just to make sure we're not missing a thyroid problem. And that's when we actually find it, because we're checking for it. So a lot of times thyroid disease is unmasked or discovered, diagnosed during menopause. I'm not sure that it's necessarily affects the thyroid menopause, but I think that they are sort of co-identified. We identify thyroid disease in menopause because of the frequency with which we test it. And because it does, like, for example, if you have a low thyroid function, then you have weight gain and you have problems with sleeping and concentration, and you have low and almost no periods. Like, that's hypothyroid. Same thing as menopause. So they kind of behave the same, and you don't want to miss thyroid disease because it can be extremely problematic, even fatal. So you want to make sure that you identify what you can correct and rule it out before you tell someone they're menopausal and not hypothyroid.
So when somebody comes to you and they make an appointment, what's your general first day of seeing a patient? You know, like, you probably have your own protocol.
Yeah.
And can you give us like a little visual of, okay, I'm coming in, or no,
yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to see you now. Tell me what you're going to do.
Well, what I do, usually you come in, I get checked in, your vitals are checked, I come in, I say, so tell me about yourself, how can I help you today? And that usually allows you to sort of direct the conversation. If the problem is, like, as I said, as you all said, menopause is different for everyone. So some people will come in and describe the GSM, or the genitourinary syndrome of menopause. Burning, pain, your urinary urges.
February 22nd, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years.
Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.